Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club, and it is our second Christmas special. I'm Colton Smith and I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price. I forgot we have to do the names. I said it like I was shocked.
Yes, bro.
Ben Price. Miss. Miss. I'm here.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and educate each other on films. The films we should have seen, but we haven't. The beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you need to do is watch along with our films at home and then come and listen to us every Thursday. However, today is not a Thursday.
What twist?
Today is a Friday because it's Christmas and everything's gone tits up.
Yeah. Everyone's busy.
We're a bit busy. It's all a bit busy, isn't it?
But
kids,
we're in
stuff and all
so
that.
We're in on a Thursday and we're out on the Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in recording on the Thursday, released on the Friday.
This week's film is the second Christmas special and it's Die Hard, which you two have chosen.
Yeah.
Before we get into talking about that, how's your week been?
Week before Christmas, how do you
That's
think?
That's the bit. Are you ready for Christmas?
I am, actually. And this is the earliest I've ever been ready.
You normally do Christmas Eve, don't
Christmas
you?
Christmas Eve, I usually go out. Christmas Eve, buy everything. Everyone's in the pub getting pissed and you can walk round and get everything you need.
Tree up.
Tree's up. Trimming's done. All that's good.
You're going out for food?
Going out for food, yeah. Restaurant, in town.
Booked.
That's Mint. All sorted. Don't have to Mint. Worry about that. But it's my little boy. It was my little boy's birthday on Tuesday on the 17th, so he had to get presents.
Does he get double presents, or is it watered down?
It's watered down because you can't go that. You can't afford it.
My daughter's in January, and it's one and a half presents, really.
Yeah,
I'm nailed on with August. You can't go wrong. Christmas and birthday, two separate events.
Yeah,
completely nailed on. My friend, it's his birthday on Boxing Day.
Oh, that's rough. The worst birthday is the 2nd of January. Because even if it's the 1st of Jan, at least when it gets to midnight on New Year's Eve, everyone can go, and happy birthday to Stephen. But then when it gets to the 2nd, no one gives a shit.
You coming out for a drink?
No.
I'm hammered. I've had a week of Christmas. It's been January the 1st. I'm not. I'm going to
buy
you.
So no, drinking. Yeah,
No. We're all thinking about going back to work. We're all quite depressed. We've got the holiday season over.
Yeah.
Why did your parents have sex mid-May?
Yeah. Mine's the 14th of Jan. But I don't mind it because it's
14th
quiet.
Of Jan?
14th of Jan.
Oh, I always forget your birthday. I'll remember it now.
Same as Harold Shipman's.
Ah! Oh, great. Absolutely great.
Which
well, I must remember
British
that.
Serial killer.
Ben, ready for Christmas?
No. I don't do anything for Christmas. That's always been my plan, and it's always
You're a mean
worked
one.
Out. And it's always worked out.
A sack of coal and a Satsuma.
No, if I could get away with it. Kids, it's Amazon. Boom, boom, boom. What do you want? Order it yourself. I'll wrap it.
Here's the iPad.
Wife bought her own present, said, don't worry about the present. I've got my own. I just have slippers and socks.
Socks, yeah.
I've done the Christmas tree, which is always too big for the house. And I went round the 50 sheds of shit Christmas market, which is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, they're awful.
They're awful. I tell you what, what do you want? I'd live a massive chess set. Have you seen that one? The massive chess set. Or a bottle of crap wine. Or I'd like a Yorkshire pudding,
Rap.
Rap.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's the thing this year, isn't it?
Thing,
York's putting
thing.
Rap.
It's a thing, but people walk round and go, oh, do you know what? I am a bit hungry. Would you buy a Yorkshire pudding wrap
yeah.
from a shed in March?
In the rain.
In the rain. Would you go, oh, there's a good Yorkshire pudding, I'll get it from a shed, a shitty shed?
It's the, yeah. the thing I can't stand about is you walk round and everybody's covered up, freezing. You're outside
mulled
drinking.
Wine.
Mulled wine. Yeah, but it's shit lager as well.
Costs a lot. All invented
it's
drinks.
All
I didn't know you had these. Oh. Do you have these in the South?
Oh, yeah. In Bath, you do. 50,
have you got a market?
50, it's called 50 Sheds of Shit. I know. I opened it. And welcome to 50 Sheds of Shit. So it goes, yes! Let's spend all our money. What is it? It's shit. Yes! It's wine you'll never drink. Yes! It's a salt shaker you'll never use. Yes! Yes. It's a massive Yorkshire pudding in your face. Yes. Let's get pissed and eat. Hate it.
In the rain.
I hate it.
I like the Christmas market.
It's nose to nipple. You cannot move.
It's too busy.
You cannot
too
move.
Too busy. You can't get parked.
No. And I tell you what, I went in the next week when they've stopped. Dead.
Dead.
Dead. Empty. Everyone's gone Amazon. Everyone's eaten the Yorkshire pudding. No one wants to know.
You've seen my Christmas shopping at the flat. There's about 12
yes.
Amazon boxes.
You did full
up.
Amazon. I got the dog a Christmas jumper.
So you've bought the dog a present?
Yeah, I did buy the... I didn't buy anyone else in my family a present. But I did buy the dog
what?
A Christmas present.
To buy the dogs?
The dog's like a little outfit.
Do you know what? Christmas jumpers are great for dogs. Mm. They're mint.
Well, they've just had the wounds removed and the teeth out. It's a double operation.
Why?
Hold on.
Merry Christmas.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Why?
Just
hold
week
on.
Before. Go on.
What's a womb?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ.
You needed to have some schooling when you were younger, because that's a class. That's the sexual class is a class and
yeah,
biology.
Kid, the Jew didn't do that.
I don't know whether I can explain a womb. But
Maybe you need to have a conversation with your mum and dad.
Did you know what? That could be a good competition. So if anyone can explain to...
you win a Sofa Cinema Club sign poster.
A mug. Yeah, maybe you need to talk to your mum. Or dad. Probably your dad. He needs to sit you down at the...
Anyway, go on. Right.
What I'm more interested about, the wound bit I get.
Teeth.
I'm not so certain about
they had extra teeth. Now, lady had an extra full set of teeth. She opened her mouth. She looked like a fucking piranha.
That's not cheap. Is
no,
that dog
it isn't.
Dentistry? Now, your sister's
sister.
A vet.
Yeah,
does
yeah.
she do dentistry as well?
Don't know.
Because do vets do that? Do
yeah,
they have to do
think,
everything?
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah, yeah, I think they do.
15 teeth out, wounds out, and the other dog had 2 teeth out. £550.
That seems all right,
seems
doesn't it?
Too bad,
yeah.
Is actually.
It?
That doesn't seem too
who
bad.
Who did it? The same person that fixed your car. whilst we're on the topic of speaking, of fixing cars.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah.
Good one, though. Fair play. Your car was in this shop, wasn't it?
Someone reversed into my car.
And when someone... This is the bit I still can't quite get my head around. So for the people listening to this podcast, picture this. You are at a red light. You are the first car in front of the red light. There is a car in front that was going to turn right, but they've bottled it. So they start reversing towards you. That car, when it is reversing towards you, if you don't think they've seen you, you beep your horn, okay? So that's what you do. Jack, talk us through what happened.
We're at the lights and she'd gone through and she'd not quite made it cross like you said. It went on amber. So then she thought she'd come back a bit. She didn't need to because she wasn't sticking out in the middle of the road. So you know when you see a car reversing, you thought, well, surely they know I'm there.
Yeah, maybe I'll just give her a beep to let her know.
Well... I thought it'd be stupid.
See, that's what
you're Do you know what
saying.
I mean? I thought it'd be stupid to beep because I'm like, well, she knows. It's 5:30 on a Friday and it's rammed with cars. It's traffic everywhere. And she just carried on going slowly, 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 catchy monkey, and then just went, poof, and just bumped into me.
I'm a bit with... I have to say, I'm actually a bit with... No,
oh, with
I'm a
me.
Bit with Jack there. Because you'd be watching going,
surely
you've noticed the car in yeah. your mirror. No, oh, you've hit me.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
I just think, yeah, it all just happened
really
slowly. Say,
what did she say?
She got out and went, oh,
David Platt.
How did that happen?
I never saw you. Yeah. Clearly you didn't. So the two
she got it fixed. She got it fixed anyway.
But, okay, at proper place or at the garage down the road in Bolton?
Well, I said, what do you want to do? And she went, can I sort it? And I went, yes, yeah,
I've got a mate, Phil.
It's Christmas.
He normally does plastering and tiling. Yeah, but can he ever go in
and
your
And you know
car?
What? I've got it back. Fine.
Fine.
Oh, absolutely fine.
Okay.
Other than two missing wheels. So I go to London last week. I'm in London all week. Jack has my car.
For a day.
I get back, go into the car park at work, unlock my car, jump in my car, turn it on.
Your music's come on.
What the fuck's going on? Lights flashing everywhere. And then it pops up going, tyre pressure 20. And I went, oof, 20, that's a bit low. Might not be able to drive it on that. So I get out of the car, look at the wheel, which in effect has gone. Like somebody might have just taken my wheel away. So yeah, that's
flat tyre. You had a flat tyre, all right.
Hold on, hold on. One, don't get annoyed. You did it. You're getting annoyed with him. Two, a simple flat tyre we could understand, but you'd ripped it on the side wall.
Yeah. And the guy was going through it going, can't find any nails, man. I'm not sure what it is. And he went, oh, oh,
oh. You've been rally driving.
He went, I didn't.
It's ripped.
Was it? Were you giving
from
it
the alloy?
A quick rag around the old Trafford Centre car?
No.
Oh, honey, we're in Golson's car. Fuck
no, the traffic was, I couldn't go fast. Anyway.
But he knew it was going down. He told me this. He knew it was going down. He parked it and walked off.
Anyway, £147 later.
Ooh,
I got back on the road.
ATS.
Back they've on had the you there, haven't they? They've seen your face and gone, I could give you a refund.
I did offer to pay for it and you went, it's fine, my mum's sorted it. Bank of mum and dad.
I love that. It's
I fine. Imagine I've probably paid for it, but my mum had to pay
no,
it.
No, she hasn't. Did she do the tyre?
Yeah, she came into this.
Mum of tyres. I'll be there in a minute, son. I've got to get the van out.
Leave it with me. I'll be there. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Build up to Christmas, running up.
Still at work. We're in the middle of work now. We've got to finish work.
So busy. Like, not getting time to watch, like, anything rather than sitting down and watching a film. It's become difficult, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
This is our first...
We had to watch it separately.
We had to watch it separately, which has never happened in the history of the 21 shows.
It's 22, including this.
Including this.
It's 22. Our first ever one where we've had to watch it separately. So me and Ben watched it together and Jack watched it alone. So we haven't discussed it. We haven't spoke anything about it, have we?
Nothing. We didn't speak about it last night.
No. Let's get into it. Let's have a quick synopsis.
Yep.
And then we'll find out what we thought.
So, Die Hard basically starts with a man, John McClane.
John McClane. Just a man. John McClane.
John McClane, Bruce Willis's character, at an airport. He's landed in L.A. He's a New York cop, and he's come over to L.A., and you're not quite sure why, and it later turns out that he's sort of having marriage problems with his wife.
His wife's got a high-powered job. She's moved to L.A. from New York. He didn't think it would last. She's there, high-flying. They're sort of growing apart. He's flying over to...
For Christmas. Christmas.
To surprise her for Christmas.
Yeah. He gets to the Nakatomi Tower, and the building where she works, and it's their Christmas do.
It's a Christmas do.
He gets in. And while he's looking for his wife, sees his wife, they have a few heated words or something.
So it's going quite well because he's turned up. And then she has used her maiden name on the door, which he's not happy about. He has a go. He is a pop. The row starts off. She storms off. He's cleaning himself up in the room.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
some terrorists come in.
Me.
And Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman is the sort of leader of this terrorist gang. And they burst into with guns and taking hostages and everything and demanding that they want some money from a vault. And John McClane is the only cop in the building, or the only person in the building, we think, who can save these people.
Yeah. The only person that they don't know exists.
Yes.
They know everyone else works there. There's like a few people there. He's playing with you. Just play through the chair.
My chair just went out.
Yeah, I like it. Midway through. So everyone else they know works there. The only person they don't know, the missing person, is John McClane.
Yeah.
And he's not just any man. He's taken his shoes and socks off.
And he's got a vest on.
And he's got a vest on.
And a handgun.
And a handgun. And so it kicks off. Gunfire. He runs off to escape, to save the planet.
So, the big question that everybody listening wants us to talk about.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Let me ask it. Is Die Hard a Christmas film?
Yes.
Producer agrees with us as
producer
well.
Producer agrees with us. It is. It is a Christmas film. I mean, I don't think it's a question.
Do you know what?
It is.
After watching it last night, yeah. I'm going to agree with you. But I'm going to ask a question that I've already asked Jack, and I'm going to ask it to you.
It's a good one. It's a good question.
Okay.
Would you watch Die Hard on a cold Tuesday night in March?
As opposed to what?
Would you watch
it? Oh, I'd watch Die Hard anytime.
Okay. Would you watch Elf on a cold Tuesday night in March?
Yes, I would. Just to be annoying. Yes, I would. I'd watch it in August. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So this is the bit.
Yes,
this is
but
what does it take to be a Christmas film? Does it just have to feature Christmas?
For me, it doesn't have to be. I suppose I had an aversion to over-saccharine Christmas films. That's why I like Die Hard.
What does over-saccharine mean?
So, too gloopy, too sugary, too sweet, those Christmas movies you watch, and it's Santa Claus. I just couldn't stand those.
Everything I love.
So that's what I... Everything you love in a movie. Love, actually. And then the opposite is Die Hard.
Yeah.
I get your point.
Yeah.
I did watch Elf last week with my kids.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good film.
I have seen Die Hard with my son. I don't think my daughter has. I've seen all of them. That's a good point. I still think it's a Christmas film.
The question almost would be on a flip. What does it take to be a Christmas film? And I would say Die Hard features Christmas. It is a film that is based at Christmas time. Mm. So therefore, it does qualify for me as a Christmas film.
But it doesn't have
so I'm going to allow
Santa
it.
Claus.
It doesn't have Santa,
elves, presents,
reindeers.
That's
got Christmas music.
One
it's
song.
Got Christmas music.
One song. The last song.
No, the copper when he's going, oh, the weather outside is frightful. He goes, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And the body just lands on the car.
And we had a little moment, didn't we, when the body landed on the car. So I'm sat there, we're sat watching the film. We're coming up to the bit
where this is going.
A baddie has been thrown out the top. So basically, Willis...
Willis
is systematically killing the baddies.
Yeah.
And they get cheesed off because they don't realise they're dealing... They think they're dealing with the Nutter. No, they're dealing with Bruce Willis. Mm. And he's systematically killing each baddie.
Yeah.
Then they have this bit where...
He tallies them
on his hand. He pulls the fire alarm to get a copper to come. They ring him up and he goes, come on, send someone. And they go, okay, send one copper. They send one copper to check on the building. The copper goes to do a circle, goes in the building, doesn't say anything, goes back to his car, and he's going to drive off. Bruce Willis throws a dead baddie out of the window, which lands on his car. Smash. The guy shits himself, backs out. Just at that moment, body lands on car. Caution... in some kind of amazing new Olympic event, sees the old
candle on fire.
Which candle is it? Which candle?
The molten brown.
The molten brown Russian leather.
The special.
On fire. It's on fire. He bombs over.
We're talking big flames.
He's gone. Like fast. Then for Christie, boof, over. Goes to blow. Toggle of hoodie goes into wax. He blows toggle of hoodie in wax. Wax all over his
wax
face.
Wax everywhere.
So he goes...
wax all over the top.
So then I'm watching Die Hard on telly and then Die Hard in the flames. Wax! He's burnt me! He's burnt! He's on fire! There's wax all down his hoodie and your whole toggle is full wax, full Russian leather.
Well, what happened to the hoodie, Ben?
Oh. So the hoodie. So he keeps the hoodie on for the whole film.
I tell you what, it smelled mint.
It smelled lovely.
And the wax had gone rock hard as well, like because it was all in patches all over.
It was a big splash. It was a proper fire. Then, so he's watching. We're watching. I had a sniff every now and then. It's great acting. It's like having your own little potpourri next year. We watch the film, finish the film. Coulson, you know how he loves Coulson. Right, if anyone doesn't know, Coulson loves a hoodie and has you're not going to be able to estimate how many hoodies you have.
I'd probably could at 25.
That's absolute rubbish.
You go through four a day.
You're going into the hundreds. You can't.
I have not got.
So you've got my cupboard. You've gone into my cupboard. Yeah. You can't shut the doors on yours. Yep. You've got your mum's house, and it's pretty much full of black hoodies.
Okay, I thought you meant in that one wardrobe.
Oh, define what you mean by
don't forget.
don't forget, there's 150 in my grand's.
Yeah, exactly. I've got the flat, I've got mum's, and then I've got Booth's Town. And Booth's Town is just boxes full of clothes.
I'm going to ask you, Coulson, for £1 million. How many hoodies do you think you've got? Being serious, like go there.
Why are you
go there.
£1 million?
I don't know, it's like a game show. Go there, and you'll see why this is hilarious now at the end of the film. You'll see why.
I'd say maybe high 70s.
Way. It's into the hundreds.
I can't have
them. So he's got maybe 100 hoodies.
Okay. No, I probably have got 100.
Oh, you have? You have, easily.
This is what happens when you're fat, then you're thin, then you're fat again. You know? What can I do? Can't wear the ones from 2017. They're all fucking mediums.
Get one with the zip.
They won't even fit Jack.
So he's got well over 100 hoodies. Mm. So he's got the wax hoodie, the die-hard wax hoodie. He takes it off at the end of the night. He goes to put it in the wash. I said, there's no fucking way you're getting that out. It's a throwaway. Yeah. It's a bin. He went, oh, yeah, okay, I suppose you're right. But he was desperate to keep it.
Why don't you just keep it under your pillow so it smells nice?
Ben also, whilst I've lived with him, has made me bin about 7 pairs of jeans as well. You do often try and get a colour of my clothes, I have to say.
I try, because you can't get into your room. The shoes initially trip you up. Then the cupboard falls on you and crushes you.
It doesn't help living above Tasuti.
No.
So, Bruce Willis, the bit where we're talking about, was it a Christmas film? So we've established that, yes, it qualifies as a Christmas film.
How
it has
good is
plenty.
He? How good is
what,
he?
What, Bruce Willis?
Yes.
Do you know my favourite character?
The copper.
Yeah, Powell.
I knew you'd say that.
I know. I straight off went, there he is.
Love him.
That's you in the remake.
It's quite easy of who we'd be in this film, because I'd be Powell, you'd be Alan Rickman, and he'd be Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Do you know what you probably wouldn't be? You'd probably be the twat that goes to negotiate.
Yes, you would be the FBI guy. Yeah, yeah. So the copper has backed out, the body's thrown on the thing. He then gets in touch with Bruce Willis. Then they start this dialogue, don't they?
Yeah.
So through the second half of the film, you're seeing the bad guys trying to get the money, but make it look like they're terrorists.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis and this copper systematically try and stop them.
And they form a friendship that you really invest in, and they never see each other.
On a radio. Very
good. The first time they saw each other is that end scene.
Is it?
They'd never met.
And they do it very well, don't they?
It was brilliant how... Because I don't imagine how they filmed that, because that must have been Bruce talking to an assistant director, mustn't it?
Yeah, it must have been.
Because they won't have been reading for each other.
That is good, isn't it? Considering a whole load of the film.
The film is them two talking to each other.
But also... Rickman talking to Willis on a radio.
Yeah.
So they only meet once when they fight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're a lot. And when they meet, that's the clever bit about when they meet, he doesn't know who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. You just mentioned something that I can't quite let go. Rickman. Really, really like him. But
careful, it's a sensitive subject.
What is that accent doing?
I know. It's
yes. Hans Gruber.
The West German terrorist.
You're West German terrorist.
But some of the stuff he says, he's the most London person you've ever met. Like the way he speaks.
It does go off.
It does.
But for some reason it works.
I think it works. It's not like...
No, you do see past it, I agree. But I was like, either try or don't try, mate, because when he's doing it like this, and then he goes, oh, mate! Like,
for the American audience... They're just hearing a European German accent, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
not
yeah.
hearing.
Whereas I'm hearing German and then Professor Snape, and I'm going, hold on, you've got to be one or the other. You can't be both here.
You did say that at one point. He's very good, Rickman.
Mm. He is good. He's good in everything,
it's
though,
his
isn't
first
he?
Film.
Was it?
It's his first film. Yeah, he'd only ever done Broadway, and the director and the writer saw him in the play, and they knew when they saw him that they wanted him to be Hans Gruber.
He's very good.
You said he was your mentor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was very kind. So to get to drama school, I couldn't afford to go to drama school. And
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quite a few actors supported me, not financially, but with letters I gave to the council to get a grant to go. And Alan Rickman was one of those actors. And he wrote a beautiful on parchment with a quill pen. Like
Professor Snape.
The whole thing about why people from
the north,
but also don't have any money, should be going to drama school. So him, Glenda Jackson, Michael Caine wrote... Kenneth Branagh.
I think Ben Poash should go to drama school.
The only one who was a bit, so like Ian McKellen did, all these people, really big famous people. The only one who didn't, Jeremy Irons.
Who's he?
He's the baddie. He's Hans Gruber's brother in Die Hard with a Vengeance, Die Hard 3.
So I'll watch that. So I wrote to him and he went, sorry, don't know you, can't do it. Right, pie.
Sorry, you're poor.
Sorry, you're poor, no chance I'll ever meet you, bye. So he was very kind, he supported me through. And then I met him after I'd come out of drama school in a shop where I was working. He was a lovely man.
Not the ice cream of Pierce Brosnan, was
it? No, this was Gap. He was a lovely man, really nice guy. But I thought he was good in that. I thought they were all good. I thought the direction was very good.
Yeah.
I thought it looked great.
Same director who did Predator the year before.
Ah.
So they got him on board. And they offered it to...
Predator was Ridley Scott.
No.
Alien.
Oh. I'm thinking of. Same sort of film, jungle and space.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He directed Predator and they tried to get every actor going on board. Clint Eastwood, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, De Niro... Richard Gere, they literally handed
no
it to
one would
everybody.
Do it. No
every
one would do it.
Film star, and no one would do it, which was when they had to go
TV.
Further afield to TV star.
Moonlighting star, Bruce Willis.
Which was Bruce Willis.
Oh, so it was Bruce Willis's big first film as well.
Yeah.
So it was both. What was Alan Rickman doing before?
Broadway.
Oh.
He'd done a shed load of theatre.
Yeah, and he'd done a lot of TV in England, but he'd not done anything in America.
So that was the
and
first
he'd only been
thing.
In. A, he'd only been in like. America for a few
But there
weeks.
Was a period, wasn't there, where all the baddies in films were basically European or English.
Yeah.
They had that period where they obviously went straight for a European actor. Make him German, that seems nasty.
Yeah.
Although when they showed the film in Germany, they're not German. They dubbed them and they changed all their names, so it's not Hans Gruber, it's Jack Gruber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Ooh, yeah, nice, and all the baddies, nice they changed stat. All their names.
What, another...
Carl.
A really,
Carl, no, Carl was something
A
else.
Really lovely stat as well was something that Coulson's father gave to us. Coulson,
right, this
before
is,
the, before I'll let
this
you say this,
what
this
we
one,
should
before
be
before we started the film, Coulson went, because you normally give the facts, don't you?
Do you give the trivia?
And he said, Nick, isn't it? Nick...
Who will be listening? Just...
I'm quite happy facing Nick up. It's not my slip up, is it, Nick? He said, Dad has got a great fact about the film.
Q Coulson. He sent me a message saying, bit of trivia for you for the film. Alan Rickman flinched every time he shot the gun. So there's never a shot of him and the gun, him firing the gun. It's just cutaways. So I said this to Ben at the start of the film. And then the bit, you know, the bit where they're having the shoot up
shoot
and it's Alan Rickman and Carl and he goes, shoot the glass. I went, oh, Ben, we'll shoot. My dad went, rewind it. And literally I press play on a wide shot of Alan Rickman
absolutely
firing
annihilating a machine gun. Full face, full gun. I said, well, they all dad's off the team. And then another, and like 10 minutes later, there's another gun. Full face.
So I don't know how he got. I mean, yeah.
Not that
I think he was flinching.
He was flinching, but yeah.
Most people flinch when they shoot a gun.
And there was a weird shot that was like his mouth was, you know, it was his mouth and the like mouth of the gun almost. But see, Jack was going to use that trivia as well.
No, I wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Have you got any trivia?
He's given me a few bits.
I've got a few. Bruce Willis was the highest paid actor after this film, $5 million ago, which was unheard of. And the way he managed to demand it is because he was a massive TV star, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't get a film star. they had to get him because there was no one else who would do it.
Yeah.
And he said, potentially, this could ruin my career. So to save my career, I want $5 million.
And it made his career.
And it made his career.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And he got $5 million.
He was mint in that film.
He was mint.
That's his best film.
Yeah.
His first, his best.
Yeah. And he's always said his favourite part is John McClane.
Yeah, easily. I think that was it.
I think it probably was mostly him, because Bruce Willis is sort of like, yawn, oh my, he's just yawned in my face.
He just yawned in Jack's face. We've gone again. Jack was talking, mid-talk, Coulson's gone, giving it the full bellows in Jack's face.
No, I wasn't. I was doing it so it didn't pick it up on the mic.
Oh, but not just Jack's face.
That's Jack's face.
Any more trivia? anything else for the podcast?
Is it Christmas? Yeah.
It's a Christmas special.
I'm ready for Christmas.
You're ready for hibernation.
And the director and Bruce Willis and the writers, they changed it. They added a bit of comedy because the original director didn't want to do it because there was nothing funny in the script. And if you watch it, I mean, there is moments of proper learning.
Yeah. Well, that's what he was known for in Moonlighting, wasn't
it? Yeah.
So in the end, Bruce Willis kills them all.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a famous scene where Rickman is on the edge of the building.
What a shot.
What a shot. They've shot the window out. Rickman is holding on to John McClane's wife by the hand. Yep. He has to just before Rickman's over the top of this building, he's about to shoot Bruce Willis in the face, John McClane in the face. Mm. They take the watch off. He loses his grip and he falls. It's quite a famous shot. He falls all the way down. You see him fall and then land.
He actually did fall. He did that fall.
Oh, did he?
So they put him on a wire and they put him up like, I don't know how many, like 20 stories or something. So he falls into a big blue balloon. But the stunt guy said, right, Alan, I'm going to drop you on 3, 2, 1, go, and then we're going to drop you.
Dropped him on two.
So that shock reaction is his shock reaction because he's waiting for go.
Do you reckon he did it deliberately?
Two. Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. He did it deliberately so that you get in his face. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it does work really well. It's a good ending. And then they meet at the end.
Oh, I've not told you about the elevator shaft.
No.
John McClane, when he's holding on to the vent and he's trying to jump to the next vent and he misses it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't meant to. That's a stuntman. He's meant to get on that vent. And he missed it and went all the way down, again, on a big blue balloon at the bottom. But because he missed it and went all the way down, the director went, I can cut before because there's a second vent and I'll do a cutaway of Bruce Willis grabbing onto the second vent.
Oh, so it went wrong.
So it went wrong, the stunt. He was meant to just make it.
Because he kind of goes two down.
He goes two down, doesn't he?
Yes, because I remember turning to you, Cuss, and going, God, he's got a good grip.
Yeah.
And he's
missed one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice trivia.
That's good.
That's very good.
For me, the film, I actually did enjoy it. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
Slightly over the top, but in a brilliant action-y way.
Yeah.
Like, he almost is a real-life action man, isn't he? In it sort of thing.
I think that's what's so endearing about it, what had come after Stallone and Schwarzenegger, that they were big, muscly and whatever, and suddenly you had a guy who looked like a kind of regular guy.
Who was a cop. Yeah.
He was having a great life, and yet he could be a hero.
And it's that bit of, they didn't know what they were up against.
But he gets beat up a lot in it, doesn't he? He nearly dies a lot. His feet are
covered in blood.
He smokes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you look at Schwarzenegger and Stallone, who just walked through an entire arm.
Especially
in Stallone. Can't get shot.
Bullets bounce off the chest.
And Commando.
Yeah.
He was like ripped, yeah.
When they released it in the theatres, they showed the trailers in cinemas, and people laughed at Bruce Willis because he wasn't your stereotypical action hero, but he was supposed to be. So the audience were laughing. So when the poster came out,
and it was Bruce Willis on the front of it,
they removed Bruce Willis off the front because they were scared no one would go see it. And then on its opening weekend, it was such a big success, they decided to put Bruce Willis's face back on.
That'll be a good one for our alternative posters on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's some great ones to Die Hard.
No, I can imagine.
So are we going
rating?
Are we going ratings?
Yeah, if you're happy. I've, like,
It's us first.
We should go first.
Yeah,
we?
Go on.
He's gone. You're almost asleep.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. His head's gone. Jack, do you want to go?
Yeah, for me. No, you go. I always go.
For me, it's a one. No, just joking. I loved that film. I watched it again with my son.
You were very, very excited, actually. You know, like how I would get watching Hannah Montana?
Yeah.
Like he was clapping and he was stomping his feet. He was very much like, I can't wait for this. This is what Christmas means. As soon as I watch this, I kind of get my head into gear. And I was a bit like... Right. You were really excited.
Because I think what I love about it is it's not trying to be anything else. He's going to turn up, he gets into a building, he's going to have to shoot everyone, he survives.
He literally shoots his way out of the building.
Yeah, I love that. Great. I know what I'm going to get. For that kind of action movie, I think he's great. I think it's directed well. Yeah. I think it's written well. I think Willis is great. I think it was a turning point in that bit of cinema. Suddenly you've got...
Well, they've repeated the film so many times with... Speed, yes. It's Die Hard on a bus.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
And Under Siege on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me...
White House Fallen, I mean, or whatever
yes.
it is. It's all...
I had
they're
to watch all of those. Oh, I've awful. Had to watch all of those. Ross, and he likes them.
I like as Olympus, the first one, that was good.
Olympus, White House Down. Yeah. And that's... Yeah, but it's nowhere near the charm. They haven't got the charm of Willis.
No.
He's got charm.
He's likable.
Yes.
Yeah. He is likable, and it just comes across... really well. And it is, you know...
I think it's because he's an average Joe, innit? So that yes. the audience can watch it and go, that could happen to me.
Yes.
And now yeah. we've, like, gone into it. The fact that a lot of the acting he's doing is on his own. And
on a radio.
A radio. Yeah.
I mean, there was bits where I looked at him from an actor's point of view and he's having to react looking out of a window. And I know he can't see anything out the window.
He can't see all.
And I know there's no actors and he's having to look excited or sad. And you're thinking, fair play, you've created all of that world for us in your head. And you've obviously, someone's obviously said, look, we can shoot this movie cheap.
I just remembered something else as well. Sorry to cut you off. I'm you know, the helicopters bit at the end?
Yeah.
They'd got so many bad reports while filming in this building because there were people working in the building halfway up. So the only floors they could use were the top bit, yeah. you know, where it's all yeah. like industrial and yeah. it's not quite finished.
Yeah.
And then the bottom, like reception bit, and a couple more floors. But everything else, there were workers in there.
Was so
it was 20th Century Fox's building. It was their building okay. on their land. But they got so many complaints that when they got the helicopters out, LA, the, what is it, the council, whatever they're called, they said, you can only have the helicopters for 2 hours because you've pissed everybody off around the neighbourhood with making so much noise. They blew shit up. That's real fire. Gasoline. It's real fire.
And old school.
You know when he smashes the window yeah. of the chair? Yeah. He smashed a window. Real window did Bruce Willis. And all that. So
they did enough.
They said you can only have the helicopters for 2 hours. So they had basically one shot of trying to get the helicopters around the building. But anyhow, carry on.
I like that.
Yeah.
Eight.
Eight.
Hmm.
I'm not going full 10.
No, no, no.
Because I don't think I'm going to do that on a film. Seven seems too low to me. Nine, I think I'd reserve nine for a bigger film. Eight, yeah. all day, I really love that film.
What if it had a live orchestra?
Well, it's extra 2 points to a live orchestra.
Yeah. To Joy. Come on.
Come on.
Beethoven. It's one of my favourite classical songs.
Do you know what Ben was saying? It'd be quite good with a live orchestra.
It'd be mint.
It'd be mint.
It would be mint. Maybe they could think about doing it. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
There's a lot of music. Yeah. There's a lot of music in that film.
Maybe that's the way to watch every film from now on.
Yeah. An orchestra. No, I'm not putting it on unless there's a live orchestra in my living room.
A 1, 2, 3, 4. No, do all the bit and the universal bit.
8.5 for me.
Oh. Loves the point. I forgot the
I
point.
I do. I just think it's better than eight, and it's not as good as nine
five.
For me.
I can't do a 0.5, but that's good. Cool.
I really liked it. I've seen it before. I couldn't quite. I think I said to you, it's a tall building and a tunnel. So I think I'd mix two Die Hards together.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Bruce Willis is good. The only bit I didn't really get was the kid in the limo. It kept flicking back to.
Oh, I liked it. Bum, 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 skeletons. Bum, bum,
bum. Skeletons in the car.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder.
I just didn't really understand it. Like, because But I guess the idea was it was hectic in the building and everything was going on normal around it.
Comic relief, also very useful from a filmmaker's point of view, to have something you can go off
to
if you need. If you've got gaps in your story or your film, or there's a bit of action you've got to get Bruce Willis from one floor to another, you can use him as a device.
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, Bruce Willis is going to another part of the building. That's probably why they did it.
They did that with a lot of it, with it introducing that the Powell, the copper,
yes,
the FBI guys, yes, the guy in the limo, because it on paper that the Bruce Willis was, yes, virtually in every scene.
Yeah,
and his schedule couldn't do it because he was still filming Moonlight at the time, so he couldn't be in every scene. So that's why they had to.
So that's why they put it.
And from a film point of view, you always want to give yourself a backstop you could cut away to, and he was perfect for that.
Yeah, liked it. Hopefully, our Christmas party doesn't end up like that.
But rating.
Yeah, I'm in an R in. Oh, I'm just chewing. I'm chewing on it. I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Ooh,
yeah, I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Very good. 4.5.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. I'm happy with that.
What did Love Actually get?
Bit more than that.
I think it was 25.
25.
Love Actually can't have beaten Die Hard.
Love Actually got a 10, a
8,
and 7. A 7. So,
I don't know,
25.
So has Love Actually beaten Die Hard?
I think it has.
Yeah. Oh,
shit.
So,
10.
The winner.
To 10. I'm
going to
go back.
Special.
10. I'm going to go back.
That means my. I think that's the first thing I've. Because in the series, you.
We haven't won. You well, win.
Hold on.
I think I've won at life there. I'm going to retire. I've won at life. Series, my film's better than yours.
I won Christmas.
I won Christmas. End of the podcast.
Series one, all of your films annihilated mine. Christmas special. I've done it. The live orchestra. Me and Ben Webster and his strings.
Ben Palmer. he'll be really shit fucked off with that, you know. You said that last night. But we go. Here's Ben Webster. Ben Palmer.
Ben Palmer and his strings.
Nice one. So, look, you're going to be able to catch us
in April.
Year,
hopefully.
In
April. Hopefully April time.
That's miles away.
I know. We've got to record some, though. We've got to get some in the bag.
Oh,
we?
They can't wait that long. We'll have to do something else. I can't wait that long. I like listening to it. I like hearing my own voice the next day.
We had 1,000 listens, 900 of them were us.
So yeah, we will be back in 2020 with series 2 of the Sofa Cinema Club. There's a lot more films to come. At the end of this podcast, I'm going to tell you the first film that we'll be watching for 2020.
We do read your messages, and I think that's good.
We do. Whilst we're
I
on,
think
the,
he's good
I think
well,
no. But when people write them down, you know what I mean. When people write them down on the Twitter or the Instagram, we do read them. So keep writing them.
Yeah. We enjoy them.
Let's just whilst we're talking about reading messages, let's just acknowledge the lad who has been waiting for his signed copy of this. So, Steve Jobs, who has been waiting for his signed poster for about 5 months. Just to clarify, Jack's lost them. When can he be expecting this?
When we get some more posters printed.
It's going
to
be.
When we get to number one in the iTunes charts.
It's going to be after Christmas.
That's awkward. Jack will come round to your house.
Jack will come round on Christmas Day. So all that's left to say before we go is to have a nice, nice Merry Christmas.
Just a nice Merry Christmas.
Have a nice,
just an average.
Not
one.
Have a great Christmas, but have a nice one. Have a fine Merry Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas from all of us at the Sofa Cinema Club, and we look forward to seeing you in 2020.
Ooh.
Nearly.
Okay.
Where our first film will be back.
Oh, no.
Will be. We started series one with Hannah Montana, the movie. So I wanted to find something that could almost replicate.
We're going
to
know what it is.
Yeah, you'll know what it is. And I've not seen it for ages. And do you know what? We might have to get a video player to watch it.
What? What is it?
I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but I actually watched the trailer and I've stuck with my original decision. Tracy Beaker, the movie.
Oh, my God! Are you mental?
Are you mad?
Are you mental?
That can't be one of your favourite films. You've made that up.
No, no. I watched it when I was a kid.
Tracy
I really
Beaker
liked it. She
movie.
Meets a mum. And we'll be watching it in 2020.
Oh.
So hopefully we'll see you then. Good night.
We might have to get it on video.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.